You just up yours a little bit.
Okay.
Ugh, I pulled it up in eye already.
Son of a bitch.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. This is episode 539 of your Overseas Connection podcast, and we hope echo free. Today is August 11th, 2019, and, I am one of your humble hosts today. Greg DeLacy, Cameratag, Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And with us today, a repeat performance, but again, hoping for a lot more of them and a lot less of their echo. We have Kim Woods, returning champion of raccoon hunting.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody's got to be good at something. And
there you go.
Me.
There you go. Mm-hmm. But Kim, we can't talk about that violence, that kind of thing. Sorry.
Had
to take down all the posters, especially the one over your shoulder, the calendar that incites violence.
Yeah.
Is that August?
Yeah, that's Rob, and the cat's name is Bella. Or maybe his name is Bella, and her name is Rob. I don't know. But anyway.
Can I ask a question? Have there always been cats in those pictures?
Yes.
Never noticed. Okay. all right. Maybe that says a little something about me.
It kind of does, but I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. All right. Also on the podcast today, looking foreign. Look, there's no way if I end up it's about this. This is Mr. Peachin, number 13, freshly shaven. I can't.
And you
get
can
over
see his chin. I mean,
I know.
You know.
Hello, everyone. I'm fine. It's me. It's nobody else. It's not an imposter. It's me. I've had a shave. In fact, I've shaved it all off. I've took some pictures though, along the way.
We did not appreciate that, by the way. Because
be for yourself. What?
Never mind.
This is what you're expecting, folks. It's going downhill straight from the start. But at least the sound's okay this time.
We're not echoey.
True. And to that point, can we just talk about that real fast? Well, actually, okay, let's get the other stuff out of the way. Real fast. We broadcast every week. Sundays, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 p.m. in Central Time Zones. And we are on Twitch.tv. We are on Mixer.com. We even appear on YouTube.com from occasion. If you managed to get past last week and you thought, you know what, I will never watch them again. I'll listen to the audio only. That's great. We do put forward an audio podcast, usually echo-free, as is our normal broadcast. So without further ado, let's talk about last week. Apologies to everybody, and hopefully somebody in the chat can confirm we are not echoing. So last week, I was trying to spin the decks and host the show, which I thought I had everything nailed down. I was using a new technology called NDI for Skype capturing the cameras. I'm going to go into this full explanation because I need a little redemption here. And so the thought was all of the settings on my mixer board were incorrect. The reality was that I had not realize when you capture NDI off of Skype and use that in OBS, it automatically dumps the audio feeds into your OBS studio. So I had not muted the two of you. And so your audio was coming through loud and clear, not only through my mixer board, but also through the NDI capture. Therefore, we had both of you echoing for the entire show. Much to the amusement of, I think, nobody. But yeah, so we've sorted that out, mostly because we fired me off of mixing this week and we gave the job to Pete, and he has admirably taken the helm. No problems at all. Everything is A-okay.
Don't say that yet, because I'm just fixing one.
Uh-oh.
Oh, damn it.
It's okay. It's fine. Believe in me, people.
I believe in you.
You can do it.
And legitimately, now that, you know, we see you do have a chin, you are the legit chinny. Because this is legit. All right. Well, let's get going. We are a video game podcast. We talk about video games. We also talk about life. And so with that, it's some story time. That's a cue for you, Pete.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day. When we gather around his great big chair
and Greg DeLacy comes to stay.
Welcome in. Gather around, kids. It is story time. Yes. We're going to start off with a nice story from Kim. Kim, share with the class, please.
Well, sure. All right. I haven't really done much. I've been reading a lot, which, you know, is fine and all. But when you've got a lot of hobbies, you kind of have to pick between one. And I've been reading an awful lot. Here a while back, you told me I needed to check into the Dark Elf series or whatever.
Yes.
And I've been doing that. I'm on the fourth book, which apparently, I guess from way back when, it's actually the first book. But I started like at his beginning, his origins, okay. You know, where he came from and all that. And I have to admit, the first book, it was a little dry. But then they're building things. They're telling you where he came from and what life was like and how he ended up to be where he's at, you know, now. So, you know, I stuck with it. And like I said, I'm on the fourth book and it's pretty good, I have to admit. So, although some of the names in there.
I would hope. Yeah, I'd hope by the fourth book you'd be okay with it.
Well, you know, there's still some spots where here and there I'm like, eh, all right. But, you know, I plug away at it and it's pretty good. Some of the names are a little difficult.
They are. That is my one criticism.
I know, right?
Damn those elves for having a different language that they try to actually put in the English language.
Right? So I'm assuming his name is Drizzt, right?
Is that how
you pronounce it? All right, yeah. Well. Anyway, but it's good. Like I said, I'm on the fourth book. And we'll see how it goes. So,
okay.
You know, if you like...
Yeah, Drizzt Do'Urden.
Yes.
He is a badass elf. Yeah. He is a badass, for sure.
I sympathize with the guy after reading what his family was like and what they did to him and this, that, and the other. And I was never so happy when I got done reading the first or second book after all that and what happened to all of them. I'm like, it's about damn time. The poor guy kind of gets run through the mill. So,
yeah.
So if you like dark fantasy sort of stuff, then definitely check them out. So, and there's apparently loads of them. So like I said, I'm only on the fourth one and I think there's 23 according to Amazon and the ones I'm reading. So if you want a good series, it's going to last a while. And they're coming out with new ones because I bought one here the other day that's about his dad. So.
Okay. All right. I had not heard of that. And yeah. So here's a question. Mm-hmm. Are they available on Audible?
I don't know, but probably. Because, I mean, I know a lot of things are. So.
Right.
And okay. I'll just have to look. But yeah, so there's that. And then I ran into another one. And I gotta look it up because now I've forgotten what the frickin' name is. It was good, but I forgot what the name was. So, you know, don't hold that against the book. It's just me. It's called A Curse So Dark and Lonely. It's by Bridget Kimmerer. And what it is, basically, it's a young adult book, but I got into it because the protagonist has cerebral palsy. Which,
okay.
Like most people know, so do I. And so that was kind of neat because I thought, well, how is she going
to
work with this?
I'd just like to say, I don't know that most people know this. So, I mean, that's a worthwhile thing.
Okay, well, most of my friends know it. I'll put it that way. But yeah,
yes. You
know. So, anyway, it's basically a retelling of Beauty and the Beast, basically. And there's a lot of those going around. But what I liked about it is, yeah, she's got this thing, but it doesn't bother her. You know, she doesn't act all down the dumps and depressed over it. And, you know, my leg doesn't work and I'm dragging my foot. And, oh, my God, poor pity me, which is nice because, you know, I'm kind of the same way. So, you know, she kicked ass. She killed the dragon and you know, got the guy at the end. So what's not to like? And, yeah, so if you're looking, if you kind of like that sort of thing, look into that one, too. It was pretty good. I read it in like a day. And I mean, it was so good. I checked it out for my library and it was actually on sale on Amazon for like $2 and I bought it. And I guess there's a series coming out of this. So I'm interested to see how, you know, how they get along with it. But it was nice. Like I said, she's got this disability, but she doesn't let it bother her. So, you know, that was kind of nice. So yeah, that's me. I've been, like I said, I've been doing a lot of reading this summer. I think I'm up to like 20 books or close to it. So it's nice being a hermit.
Yeah.
I have, yeah.
That is a lot of reading.
Yeah. So, you know, it kind of cuts into the Xbox time, but you got to find balance somewhere. So.
No. Balance is an important part of life in anything you do. So balance is for sure something that you need to do. Speaking of balance, Pete, this is no longer balanced. The face, the facial hair. I mean, I feel like there's an imbalance in the universe right now.
Yeah.
I mean, went from extremes, Pete. You went from like full on like Kratos beard to like clean cut. I'm just out of puberty face. I mean, I this is so drastic. I thought for sure you may have gone down to like a short beard. You know, just real closely. You know, shaven. You know, but no, you just went for it.
Yeah, well, I kind of did it stage by stage. I cut myself some different beard styles and a goatee and moustache before it all went. But yeah, I pretty much tacked it all off. I was just fed up of it. The struggles you have with a beard, Kim, you'll never know. But
hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hairs that just come off and end up in your food, or I suppose it's a little bit of a secret, but you know, when you're kissing, when I'm kissing Shell, and it's like I've got an air in my mouth, or she ends up with an air in her mouth, and I'm like, oh my life, this is just too much. I've had enough. So I've decided just to hack it all off. I might grow it again, you never know, in 6 months' time, but I've just decided to have a break.
I have to think, though, Shell is probably like happy with the smooth face.
She says it's a bit too prickly.
Well, yeah, so that's the thing. So, you know, here's a insight into my world. So, yeah, you go out on date night, Pete, use a razor, not an electric razor. Use a nice, close shave. Get that thing baby smooth. Okay. You know, go downgrade first, and then upgrade. So you get it nice and smooth.
For like the date. My bum.
Yes. You want that thing nice and smooth, baby.
Okay.
And then your wife will be happy with you. If you do not, and you get a little stubble going out, you will get that you're a little prickly.
Yeah.
And then if you get in trouble, it just easily transitions into you're being a prick. So.
Well, there's nothing changing there. But yeah. The one thing it is going to do, I hope, is knock some time off my swimming.
It's knock some time off your swimming.
It might do. All hair is drag.
True.
But I'm not shaving my head.
It's all resistance. So I'm hoping that shaving my beard off will knock me a few seconds off my time. Who knows? If it doesn't, then I will be annoyed.
Were you like competitively starting to swim or something that I don't know of?
I used to swim for a local club and county swim, but I that was years and years ago when I was a youngster. I compete against myself now.
Okay, that's fair.
I just kind of keep my eye on my times. So I've been swimming four times this week. That's one of the things that I've done, and I've only had one day of manscaping, and it's not my face. It was actually landscaping. I'm sorry if you did listen to last week's show and catch it. Yeah, that was the joke. So I wasn't manscaping. I was landscaping, and I've only done a day of that this week, so not much else.
I'm not sure I really needed to hear about manscaping.
You loved it last week.
I know. Everybody needs to do some manscaping. If you are a man and you are not doing some kind of manscaping, you're doing yourself a disservice as well as your partner. Just saying. So, all right. Enough of this. For me, it's been an interesting week. By the way, Pete, nothing else?
No, it's it. You just cut me off. That's fine.
No, that's what I do. Shut the ginger off and move on. Okay. Lots of work. Been trying to get back into a very regimented workout regimen. So 5 to 6 days a week, cleaning up the diet as much as possible. And this is largely because my wife actually is behind this now. If she's not helping push me to be better about my eating, I'm freaking horrible. I told one of the guys at our gym, I said, you know, my diet is pretty much okay, too bad. And that's it falls in somewhere in between there. Rarely is it really good, but my wife is very good about that, doing that when she gets into a kick. So we are in that phase right now. So, yeah.
What's your kryptonite, Greg?
Let's see. Anything that is bad for me.
Right? Same here.
Yeah, no. So chips are probably the worst thing because I will, at lunchtime, I can just easily just have a bag just sitting there watching some TV at lunch and just go through a bag of chips. And not just a small bag. I mean, we're talking like a medium-sized bag. But yeah, I love hot dogs. I love pizza. I mean, honestly, anything that could be bad for me, I'm like, yep, yeah, on board. And then if it's healthy, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, that whole kale thing, by the way. No.
Oh, God, yuck. No.
You're lucky that I like asparagus. I'm not a big fan of broccoli. But if you cut it up small enough and I can mix it in with something else, I can deal with it.
The only thing about asparagus, it just makes your wee smell funny, doesn't it?
It also makes it a very bright yellow. Don't forget that.
I don't like that.
I don't like it. Vitamin B also does the same thing for the rest.
We're a video gaming podcast.
Well, vitamins are important. Keep yourself healthy.
Keep you from getting rickets from your hours-long gaming sessions. You know.
Yeah, especially with what's it, Extra Life coming up? I need to say Afterlife.
Yes. Yes.
Well,
Afterlife is coming up as well, for the record. Yeah. For all of us. So along this line, though, of getting in shape and a more regimented workout. So we just joined a new club. And part of the offering from this club was every member gets to come in and meet with a personal trainer for an hour. And basically what they do, you know, they talk to you about your goals, that kind of thing. And then they say, you know, we're going to now have you step onto this machine and it's going to do a 3D scan of your body. And so they tell you, you know, wear tight underwear, you know, and you're going to be in there basically with just your underwear on this little platform that's going to rotate you around 360 degrees. It's going to take a full body scan of your body, and it's going to reveal everything you don't want to hear about yourself. And that's pretty much accurate. But the interesting thing about this, it was called Stiku. S-T-Y-K-U.
That's what that is. All right.
Yeah. So I get in there and, you know, the guy starts talking to me about what the process is going to be. But I just fixate on the machine because this machine, it has a disc platform on the ground and, you know, cables running to it that go to a computer. And then it has in front of it a pedestal about probably 3 and a half feet tall. And inside that pedestal, you see this black cutout. And inside that cutout was a Kinect Xbox One camera. I kid you not, because the logo, the Xbox logo, was down there in the thing, and it was turned up perpendicular, vertical. And so they're using that tech to do the 3D scan. So you stand on this little platform, it rotates you around, and then it gives all the measurements. And I think it did about 15 different measurements around your body. So like the circumference of your thigh, upper, lower, your calf, your waist, your narrow waist, your high waist, your chest, your arms in like three different spots, and then your neck. It was just like, and you know, I'm assuming accurate. It also weighs you, you know, gives you BMI information, all that good stuff that, again, you don't necessarily want to hear. But I was fascinated by the fact that there's somebody out there found finally a good use for the Kinect camera. So it lives on beyond its life as an Xbox One camera. NFL started, all the preseason games kicked off.
Chiefs won.
Yeah, Chiefs did win. My Chargers lost to the Cardinals, and of course I'm sure Robin is like, oh my God, Cardinals are going to the Super Bowl. Robin, they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not. The Cardinals, though, do have an exciting player, Kyler Murray. He will be fun to watch in the NFL. Kind of Patrick Mahomes-esque, and then he comes from a baseball background. So he throws a very fast football and can throw it from all different kinds of weird angles. He's a very nimble, fast kid. His downfall, though, unlike Patrick Mahomes, is he is very short. I think he's like 5'10". So
holy moly.
That is short for a quarterback. So we'll see how he does. And I think it's going to be a fun year for the Chargers and the Chiefs because it is going to be a hotly contested AFC West.
Yep.
And fantasy football is kicking off. So it's going crazy. I've got three different leagues that are going to be starting up soon, and I will be knee deep in football. Yeah, but enough of that. Last thing to talk about. We talked about the Fear series before on audiobooks. So there's Fear the Sky, which is the first book. Fear the... is it Retribution? Something like that. And then there's Fear of the Future.
And so no Fear of the Reaper?
No Fear of the Reaper. But it's a three book series. R.C. Bray is the narrator. And I just have to say, if you want a good, you know, a book that's narrated by somebody that can do some different types of voices, but just is great for kind of the technical, if you will, sci-fi, military type stories, R.C. Bray is great. And so I highly recommend any of his books. He does the Expeditionary Force. He does the Arisen book series, which the Arisen book series is by far my favorite book series I think I've listened to from audiobooks in, I mean, honestly, ever since I started listening to audiobooks. It is a 14 book series. It is about the zombie apocalypse, but, and I know that's been done and done, but this comes at it from kind of the military standpoint. So you're with a military unit, and it is fantastic. The first three books you can usually buy in a book bundle on Audible. So you can kind of do, you know, for one credit or, you know, one price, you can buy the first three books. And I cannot recommend that series enough. So yeah, that's it. That's me done for story time. Can we move on to game time?
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right, so Kim, here's the deal. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
There's literally nothing coming up for this upcoming week for games coming out. At least nothing big, nothing that's been put on a schedule. So I think we should cover this month's freebies first and foremost. Let's get those out of the way. Let's talk about these because, you know, that's the excitement right now.
Okie dokie. Alrighty, your free games with your paid subscriptions, of course, for this month are Gears of War 4, available August 1st through the 31st, Torchlight, August 1st to the 15th, Forza Motorsports 6th, August 16th through the September 15th, Castlevania Lords of Shadow, August 16th to the 31st, and then your PlayStation Plus games are Wipeout Omega Collection, Sniper Elite 4, and then we'll scroll down a little further and get your Twitch games for the month, which are Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap, Pumped BMX Pro, Mabel in the Wood, which sounds terrible, Autumn Chef is your other game, and those are your free games for the month.
I'd just like to know, just point this out, my good name is being besmirched within the chat on Twitch. And I feel like I need to defend myself, but I'm not gonna lower myself down. No, we love our chatters. Not? Chatters. No, it's okay. I get it. I screwed up last week. I know. We have it sorted. Thank God for the ginger. That's all I have to say. 13 to the rescue.
Yep.
All right. Let us talk about what we have played this week. Kim, I know you started something completely new and different, right?
Oh, for sure.
No, you were getting deep though. You were getting deep into Red Dead Redemption 2, and I'm loving it because you're starting to get into where I think the game takes such a great turn.
Oh, it's definitely taking a turn, and I don't know. I'm not crying yet, but oh my god! And I'm not gonna spoil it because I know there's still people out there that haven't played it. But
spoil it.
Yeah, I hear you. You're not helping. But yeah, today was emotional. Let's just say I've jumped from chapter 4 to chapter 5, and if you've played the game, you know what the hell I'm talking about. So, damn it.
Yeah.
I'm not real. Anyway.
The chapter you're on that you just went to was a great twist in my mind. It threw me for a loop. I was like, wait, what? What is going on?
Right?
What just happened? And it's like, okay, this is different. I was not expecting this. And that's about as general as I can possibly be about this topic without spoiling. But this is, to me, you just got through. So chapter 3 in Red Dead Redemption 2 is a pretty big lull chapter. It drags on, I think, way too long. And it kind of it takes you a little bit out of the game, only because it does take so long to get through.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels grindy. You finally get through that, and things suddenly accelerate.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're playing the story mode, it accelerates things quickly. I loved the end from chapter 4 on. This game just like blew me away in so many different levels. So I love the first chapter in this game. The second and third chapters I thought were its weakest moments. And that's just because it was a lot of setup. It was a little drawn out. And quite honestly, chapters 1 and 2 threw me for a loop because I had a vision of certain characters.
Mm-hmm.
A predisposition because of the previous Red Dead Redemption game. I knew kind of where they ended up. So seeing them being good, kind, kind of anti or opposite of what I saw before really threw me. I didn't know what to make of it. You know,
yeah.
Dutch is a character of, I mean, he's, if you want to say the equivalent character would be Two-Face in the Batman universe.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
And, that was a nice little surprise. But really chapter 4 through the end.
Oh my God.
It gets so good. So I'm excited for you just to get through this. Just be prepared.
Oh, I know. I keep waiting for something else to jump out at me because, and I already don't like Micah at all. So I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop on that one. I keep waiting that something's going to come out and it's going to be like, yep, see, I told you, but I don't know if that's actually going to happen. So we'll see.
Even in its defense, chapters 2 and 3, there's still loads of side missions that you can take on that still make the game interesting.
Oh, totally. Completely.
And I can see why people have put it down and said, no, it's just too long-winded and I'm not going to play this. But they're the idiotic ones.
Yep.
They should have just carried on, go with the grind. And yeah, it's just, it's just fabulous, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Like I said, I went into chapter 5 today like, what the fuck is this? It just, you know, it's not what I was expecting at all, you know.
Right.
After the end of chapter 4, I figured it was one of those deals where we pack up, move somewhere else, and do something else. But no. So.
Yeah. And then I see you played a little Trials Rising.
Damn right. I'm gonna get up there one of these days into the top, you know, 2. Doubtful, but you never know.
You've given it a good run, though.
I tried. I haven't followed you guys for a while, but that one part, like I said, the part where the third jump or whatever it is, where you try to get up and over the thing without getting up and over the thing that swings, and I couldn't do it. I'm like, you know what? I'm 5th. I can live with that. So.
Yeah, I thought I had a really, I improved my time twice over when I didn't think I was going to be able to improve my time. So I was all excited, and then lo and behold, I jumped down to 5th because
yeah,
Womble beat me, Snoogans beat me, Martin beat me.
Hey, I didn't. Somebody else beat me. Although I tried.
But it was a good week of challenge for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've not even played it. I've not had time. And
which is probably a good thing because I'd have been lower.
You're falling behind, Pete. But the good news for you is Mark isn't playing either, I don't think. So, you know.
Oh, hasn't he? Okay. Because today my plans went to pot, really. And then I thought to myself, well, I'll try and get some of this stream done as well. Hopefully it pays off. But I just thought I'd try and concentrate on this just to get it out of the way. So I just couldn't play it. One of those things.
Yeah, no, I was going to also try and wake up a little early and jump in and try and beat Martin because he beat me and the day got away from me. So that didn't happen either. So, it happens. The life happens.
Damn right. Yep. I've played more actually this weekend than I played all week. So,
okay, that's what the weekends are for, right?
Hopefully. Otherwise, I'm doing this wrong.
Yeah. I can't admit to trying to play during work hours, so we'll just move on from that. Pete, talk to me about Lego Marvel Superheroes.
Well, it's just your normal Lego bloody games that you get. It's just okay. You play. I've only played the first two levels of this. It's very fixed. It's not open world like Lego World Undercover or Undercover World or whatever it is. My son came over yesterday and he said to me, "I want a lightsaber." So I took him out to Argos, just at the local centre, and then we went via game, as you do. And he saw this and he was like, "Oh, Dad, can I get this too?" So, yeah, that's what we ended up getting. And installed it pretty quickly and fired it up. And it's fantastic. Just tells a little story. You play the superheroes, the Marvel superheroes. You start off as the Hulk and I can't remember the other. Oh, Iron Man. We played the first level and we switched characters. So I had to, it's two-player co-op. That's another thing. I didn't mention that. We played co-op, which isn't available on the Lego Worlds Undercover. And I was quite annoyed at that. But this one, because there's so many characters, you can play co-op and it's great. So we started off as Hulk and Iron Man, like I said. I was Iron Man. My son was Hulk. And he was like, "No, I want to be Iron Man," as the kids do. And I tried to swap controllers. And he was like, "No, I want it under my gamer tag." I was like, "Oh, man." So I had to drop out the level, go so we could swap characters. You just press Y and you can swap it. You morph into the other person. Then I started back into the game again. We played level one. And because I dropped out of the game, we had to do the level again because we couldn't go any further. So,
by the way, have you shown your son the scenes of Iron Man and Hulk fighting?
Oh, I've not. No, I've not. No.
Maybe you should do that. Maybe he'd change his tune. It's pretty badass.
Yes, he's good. It is good. So we ended up playing the first couple of levels. I think it was Spider-Man and Captain America next, and it was really good. It's fun. It's smooth, slick. The levels, they're very. Like I say, it's not open world. It's linear. It guides you through a certain path, and they're very quick. It's just another Lego game. That's good fun.
You know, I think the Marvel and Star Wars universes are perfect for Lego games. They have all been just so well done. So, all right, awesome. Well, the only game I played outside of Trials Rising this past week was Crackdown 3. I put in a ton of time just to finish it out, but I'm still playing it because I want to. There's a couple. I'm not going to be a total completionist on this game. At least I don't think so at this point. But there are things like the tower challenges where there's these propaganda towers. I just completed all of those. So I've got all of those done. There's safe houses, a bunch of safe houses I need to lock down. I see them on the map. They're not done yet, so I'm going to do those. Those should be easy enough. I don't think I'll finish collecting like all the DNA samples. I know there's a number that I still haven't gotten to. And then the orbs, that ain't happening. There's no way I'm going to get to all the orbs.
No. I'm really shocked, though, that you're carrying on after completing this, because I found this an absolute repetitive grind. It was...
Well, Pete, let me tell you.
Oh, no, you're going to get defensive now.
Here we go.
No, I'm not. It is a repetitive game, but I think the repetition is actually some of its charm in that there are these collectibles and you know, it's kind of like, play those hunt and peck games, you know, like Where's Waldo? You know, you're trying to find something in the big picture type thing. That's what this game offers up. In a lot of ways. I mean, you know, you're just going around trying to find certain things. It's not changing the formula too much to where you can approach things pretty straightforward. You know, the puzzle solving is, I mean, I think the propaganda towers were the hardest thing to solve in the entire game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of that, you're just running around like a badass superhero cop.
Doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the most fun things for me is just sitting in the middle of the road and just wreaking havoc.
Yeah, that's good. It's like GTA.
It's horde mode. Yeah. You know, it's like horde mode. You know, you just go as long as you can. And actually, I did get an achievement for basically lasting through an entire level 3 escalation, so to speak. And then I basically beat them to a pulp so much that they called it off. Anyway, so I like this game. It is not game of the year. Okay, I'm not going to try and proclaim it's game of the year, but there is something just refreshingly simplistic about this game. And I know that's going to sound like a disservice or me slighting it, but I'm not. I think that this game really, there's that collectibles aspect to this game, and it makes it real straightforward. That's what makes it fun. And leveling your character up to be able to go after these things also makes it fun. And also, you know, I mean, honestly, seeing what happens when you level your characters up, because you get new abilities. So I just maxed out level 6 on my my striking. So that's the maximum level you can get. You know, but all of my other characteristics are still in level 5, you know, somewhere. So every orb I get, I rank up a little bit more. So that's something I'm kind of like, I might try to max out my character across the board, have, you know, level 6 across the way. But the main thing was the story. The story is forgettable. Mm. It's not something you're going to be like, oh my God, that was the greatest story ever. It's not. It's not the greatest story ever. But it's something to get through.
Some of the bosses are tough.
You know, they are, because I think you overthink them. So the second to last boss that I faced comes out in this giant mech.
Oh yeah,
and he was kicking my ass left and right.
Yeah,
restarted that at least 6 times.
Yeah,
finally I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm looking up a walkthrough how to beat this guy.
Yeah,
and the actual answer was just get up close on him, continuously shooting and jumping.
Yeah,
because his effectiveness was at distance. If you got too far away from him, his missiles and stuff would hurt you more. But if you were in up close, he couldn't target you as well. So it turned out to be a very short, fast fight. But I was approaching it from trying to be long distance and not approaching it the way, you know, the easy way was. So anyway, Crackdown 3, it's an enjoyable game. It's on Game Pass. If you want something that's not going to take a lot of brain power and it's just going to be fun and it's got collectibles, it's got power-ups, that's this game. Shut up, Pete. Shut up.
No. No. The best I'll do as far as collectibles in a game is the cogs in Gears of War, and it makes it more interesting. You've got different enemies to fight. You know, they could have been a little bit more inventive in this, the developers, I think. All of the enemies are just the same.
I think the big problem when you say, oh no, what? Is that no BS, oh no? Or
no, just... it's just so, no, oh no, this game, you know, it's just, gotcha. But.
I have PTSD from last week, Pete.
Yeah, don't worry about that, it's fine. But the thing is, it's on Game Pass. You can pick it up, you can download it, you can play as much as you want of it, and you can uninstall it whenever you want. And that's, I played the game, I completed it, and I uninstalled it as soon as I completed it. And it's one of those things. At least I can say I've played it, and I've got my points for doing it. So, you know, yeah, each to their own.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. And you talked about COGS. I didn't put it in our news, but Gears of War 5 did go gold this past week. There were some tweet pictures of them cutting cakes with Gears Lancers. Which I thought was a little stupid for the record, just because they destroyed the cakes. But the game is gold, and I cannot wait to play this September 6th. If you have Game Pass Ultimate,
so much,
or you're buying
September.
It.
I swear to God, I don't know how I'm going to keep up.
I got burnt. I didn't subscribe to Ultimate, and my Xbox Live was just renewed for another year for £50. And I'm like, oh. It was a gutting moment.
Yeah.
Is it available still?
I don't think so. You can try. I mean, so what it'll do is it will convert the dollar value, I think, now. So if you had, you know, $15 worth of Xbox Live Gold, it would convert it to, you know, the equivalent for Game Pass Ultimate.
Okay.
But one of the things that I, you know, was doing prior to this switch over with Game Pass Ultimate was Amazon. You'll find some deals on Amazon mm-hmm. from time to time. CD Keys, which is not too bad in terms of the reputable side. They're pretty good. Those mm-hmm. are the only two places I would ever really buy Xbox
Live. I've never had a problem with CD Keys. People do, they do frown upon it, but I think it's great.
But if you have Game Pass and you have Xbox Live Gold simultaneously and you're paid up for like a year, it actually might behoove you to just try and do the Switch.
Okay.
Because it'll convert basically a one-to-one ratio. So if you have, you know, a year's worth of Xbox Live Gold and a year's worth of Game Pass already prepaid, it will convert both of those into Xbox Live Gold Ultimate at the dollar value. So, you know, you would get likely like a year and a half of Game Pass Ultimate. Yeah. I think that's the way it would equate out to. Anyway, so
give it a try.
All right, I think it's news time. Let's talk about the news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, news. We had a couple news stories, not a ton, but in the we'll start with something straightforward. Twitch unveiled its own desktop broadcasting app. It's in beta right now, but it's going to be called Twitch Studio. So this basically is going to be just like the Xbox Live or PS4 Twitch interface on PC. So you can go in and just start broadcasting from your PC using the Twitch app. I think the important thing here is, you know, Twitch said they released the tool to make it easier for people to get started with streaming from their PC, similar to what they did with Xbox and PS4. However, Twitch did suggest it's not, you know, it's probably not going to be something that's going to beat out what some of the established streamers like ourselves are using in terms of OBS, Steam Labs, OBS, or XSplit. Those programs are going to have a lot more bells and whistles to them than than Twitch's Studio will. But I think this, again, points to the future of streaming becoming even more popular and Twitch recognizing that they wanted to have an easy way for PC gamers to be able to broadcast. So any plans, Kim or Pete? Well, Pete, I know you've been streaming a lot more of late.
Yeah, so not this past week, but not this past week, but probably not. I don't know. I'd just like to run with something that's simple, and I haven't got to mess about with it too much. I don't know if it's going to be overcomplicated, and I've got to mess around with my existing settings on OBS or blah blah, blah whatever. Then I don't know. I'll just go for the simple option. Me really. I'll take it as it comes. I'll see. I know a lot of other people use different apps, don't they? And I do like Twitch. I think it's nice and simple. But if it starts to get too complicated, then I'll start switching somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the beauty of kind of using an OBS Studio or something like that is you can use, you know, a Restream to broadcast to multiple sources as opposed to just one.
Yeah.
But Twitch, in terms of being integrated, you know, on the Xbox and the PS4, it's real straightforward. And so if they're going to do something similar for the PC where it's, you know, one-click button and you're kind of broadcasting on the PC, maybe that's not so bad. But again, if you're trying to do something more complicated, you're having overlays, you're having different audio mixes, that kind of thing, I don't think it's going to be ideal. So, Kim, I know you were looking forward to that stuff, but...
Oh, I know, because I'm the world's best streamer. No, I'm like the world's most boring streamer, so, you know...
I am too. You know, as much as I talk on this podcast, when I stream, I tend, because I like listening to my video games, I'm not a good multitasker in that case. I shut up, I play listening to the game, and then like I'll see somebody make a comment in the chat, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be talking. So anyway, all right. Let's dive into some of the more, shall we say, controversial. So in the wake of last week and the shootings, there has been a lot of fallout, and some of it is now being directed at video games. We had the president, we had media, a lot of people put video games in the crosshairs for, a possible reason, or maybe not reason, but a possible influence into some of these crazy shooters and what they're, you know, what they've done. Look, I think we can all agree, at least from this podcast, video games are not causing people to go out and shoot people. And, and I think ultimately the people even talking about this, I don't think they necessarily think video games are actually at the root cause. But I think sometimes what we're hearing is they are deflecting from other topics that they don't want to talk about, so that they're putting video games front and center, violent media front and center. I do think violent media can be toned down for young children. Don't get me wrong. I don't think kids need to be exposed to violent media. You know, that's me. I think that there can be some ways we as a society can do better. But I also think we can do better parenting. I think we can do better at a lot of things. So, but Walmart did, and this was misreported. So Walmart came out and they had some internal memos talking about they wanted to remove any violent media displays, which included video games, most notably, from the stores. And they wanted to do this out of respect for the victims of the El Paso and Dayton shootings. It did not, however, which was incorrectly reported, it does not reflect a change in the actual game catalogs that they're selling. So they're still selling games. They're still selling all video games. They just didn't want to have signage out in the stores depicting violence that somebody who may have been affected by one of these incidents would come across.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why they wanted to pull this down. But obviously, everybody is hypersensitive to this stuff right now. So it was incorrectly reported that Walmart was pulling all violent video games. And that is not the case. We have to be smart about how we approach these things right now. I think there is a lot of ways that we can do some significantly good things. And I've been going back and forth. We've had all kinds of debates internally with our own groups about, you know, the mental health. We've talked about, you know, violent media. We've been talking about guns and, you know, what we can do about banning assault rifles or banning guns or licensing and things of that nature. There are so many different aspects to this. It is a huge topic to take on. And as I noted before, you know, I have a lot of friends. Kim, you're one of my friends that owns guns, you know, and there's no way I know you're not going out and killing anybody. I know you're not going out and going crazy.
Nope.
But, you know, that said, I think there are some steps we can take to limit what somebody can do with weapons. So I think maybe instead of banning certain types of guns, we ban certain functions. So anything that's automatic, you know, if you have a fully automatic, you know, assault rifle, there's the only reason you have that is to do massive damage. So I think, you know, we could maybe put a moratorium on selling of those kinds of weapons. Limit clip sizes, 20 rounds or less is legal. Anything beyond that, look, if you're doing shooting practice and target practice, just, you know, swap out a clip at 20. I think that's a reasonable thing. And I think the mental health aspect really needs to be addressed. I think that the talks about this red flag, in terms of if somebody is showing signs of violent behavior or if they've been convicted of violent crimes, domestic violence, that kind of thing, they should not have access to guns. That has to start happening. And I think it's to the point that, you know, if you're convicted of violent crimes or are showing, you know, violent tendencies, you know, they talked about, you know, some people have been proposing hearings to kind of either clear you or declare you need to be under watch for a certain amount of time to just demonstrate that you're not going to have a violent episode. I think those individuals not only should not have access to any new weapons, but also should not have access to any existing weapons. So anyway, that again, I'm on a soapbox right now preaching away. I don't know if either of you have anything else you want to say about this topic.
No. You've summed it up pretty well.
Yeah, as I mean, said, I know Pete. Yeah. Sorry, Kim. Go ahead.
Yeah, as you said, I'm not a psychopath, so I'm good with that. So.
Yeah. I believe there are a couple raccoons that might disagree with you.
They're liars.
I was going to say, isn't normally the psychopaths would say that they aren't psychopaths?
It is, actually, yeah. Yes. We're all totally fine, Pete.
It's okay, Kim. You're not.
Yeah. I know this has to be interesting, Pete, from your perspective. Because the UK is very different when it comes to gun laws.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really, really strict. It's not... Well, I don't know. I suppose the States has got some elements of law behind it. And yeah, I get that buying... To me, looking at it right, if you was to buy a single shot rifle or a handgun or a semi-automatic or a fully automatic gun, all of it's going to do damage. Surely. I don't know. That's my opinion. If you're going to buy either of those weapons, you're going to cause damage. It's just how can you control someone who's unstable to just get their hands on one of these weapons somehow? They could even get it from a family member in their home, mm-hmm. or their family member's home. There's nothing stopping them grabbing these weapons and doing what they do. So I really feel for you guys. I would. As a tourist going, I think I'd be slightly cautious that something could go wrong. I don't know. Because here, you just don't hear of guns. The only time you ever hear them is if you're anywhere near a shooting range or where they offer clay pigeon shooting for stag parties. But you don't hear it in this country. But stabbings is on the rise. You know, it's huge. There was hundreds of people last year that they got killed through stabbings, and I think it was the largest number of stabbings that's occurred in this country. And it's not stopping. It's just on the up. Yeah. People are arming themselves with knives now, just protection, and it's awful. Just the same as it's probably for you guys with guns in the US. I don't know what the answer is to it. I'm well under their pay grades to make those decisions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we say that, right? But I think ultimately we also have to have a voice. We have to not be afraid to talk about it. Because nothing will get done if we don't talk about it.
No.
I also would like to point out, Pete, actually, this is all the UK's fault. Because
the amendment.
Yeah, well, we had the revolution to get away from you from getting under the thumb of the Queen and the King.
Yeah,
and so then we said, "Oh no! Everybody needs to be able to have a gun in case we have to form a militia again because those UK bastards are coming back."
Yeah,
all your fault, Pete. All your fault.
Start calling me Sweet Corn.
Sweet Corn, yeah. Yeah,
Sweet Corn. Fault. There you go. Yeah, let's just blame it on Mark. Sweet Corn. Yes, we do hope he is feeling better. By the way,
yeah,
still
we love you, Mark.
A tad under the weather. All right, last little news story, and this is a positive change. So Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo have all agreed to start disclosing loot box odds. So the games industry is attempting to soothe concerns over loot boxes. So the big three have announced they will start publishing and disclosing the loot box odds. I think this is an attempt to salvage the ability to have loot boxes because they have come under fire so much. I don't know that this is going to be enough to stem that. I don't know.
It's quite a vague statement, isn't it? To disclose the odds of obtaining highly sought after gear. That they can disclose that in the real tiny small print on the back of a game. It still means they've disclosed it. They've still been transparent, and they're still working to what they said that they were going to do. So it'd be nice to find out how they were going to disclose that, whether they were going to be pop-ups or something just to say, hey, listen, da da da. But I don't think it's as clear as this statement's making it to be. It's going to be in some small, I would imagine, small print somewhere, and it will cover them. It will cover their butts.
Right. That's my opinion. But will that be enough? I guess the question is.
Of course, it'll cover their butts. But it's enough. It will be for them because they've disclosed it. They said that they would.
Right, but I guess my question is, because the industry right now is facing a lot of criticism from lawmakers that are seeing this and they're saying, hey, you know, kids are gambling. This isn't, you know, this is playing into addictions.
Okay.
So
what about sticking a logo next to a Peggy rating as well? That would probably cover their backs. Just your little Peggy rating of 7, and then L in a box or something like that. Yeah, that shows gambling. It's gonna cover them.
I mean, I know they're attempting to cover themselves in the current situation, like in the current state of things. This does quote unquote cover them. My gut says lawmakers are going to want to push this further.
Oh yeah.
And so I don't know that this is going to be enough to keep change from happening. And just straight up banning loot boxes. We've seen it, a couple countries, I believe, attempted to do that already. So, the problem for those countries is they're not big enough that the industry cares. So they're just like, okay, well, whatever, but if the US, if the UK, if France, some of these, the bigger countries, Germany, Japan, if they put a kibosh on loot boxes, in games across the board unilaterally, then the industry is going to have to do something.
Yeah. But I think there also needs to be a big awareness with parents as well when they buy games for their kids. You know, like I bought that Lego game for Leo, and there could have quite easily been some logo on there to say that there's in-game content and there's a form of just buying extra content through loot boxes and stuff. And the majority of parents that aren't into gaming wouldn't know about loot boxes. They wouldn't give a rat's ass about it. They'd think, well, I'm just buying a game. It's just got a 7-year-old logo on it. It's fine. It's gonna be good. I think there needs to be more awareness given to parents as well. That could be easily done through social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram. You know, they're huge. There's millions of people on them. They could do that very simply. And maybe even by doing that as well, as big as they are, all of those, Microsoft, Sony and Nintendo, if they put that out there on Facebook and other social media platforms, they could do it quite easily. But I think the onus does fall on the parents as well, buying the games for their kids and younger teens.
Well, okay, so I agree with you wholeheartedly. I actually think the onus falls 100% squarely on parents' shoulders. I think it is time for parents to start parenting and not expecting government organizations, other organizations to parent for them. Mm-hmm. So if there is inappropriate material for your children in their hands, it is nobody's fault but you, the parent.
Yeah.
Once you are aware of it, get it out of the house. Ask questions, talk to your kids. We were on a flight to Disneyland a couple weeks back. And the flight attendant came to us at the end of the flight. Pretty much everybody had gone off the flight and we were with our son waiting for his wheelchair to come up. And he said, I got to tell you, and not trying to toot our own horn here, but he said, you guys spent the entire flight paying attention to your son. And he said, I cannot tell you how often I see families come onto these flights and parents give their kids no attention at all. Mm-hmm. They duck their heads into their own devices. The kids are in their own devices. Nobody's talking. And that's my big takeaway on all of this. It's, as parents, you need to talk to your kids. You need to be involved with their lives. You need to be nosy. It is your job as a parent to parent, not to be their best friend, not to give them their space because they're asking for it per se. I mean, there's times where that's going to be okay, but kids don't know. They think they know. We've all been there. We've been a kid. We were like, oh, I know everything.
Mm-hmm.
No, and as parents, we have a lifetime of experiences to fall back on. And so, we need to guide our kids the right way. And that involves talking to them. It involves being in their lives. It involves being nosy. It involves punishing them when they step out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but we didn't have the we didn't have the exposure.
Start punishing your kid. Come on.
We didn't have the exposure to the world like kids do now, though.
True, but in fairness, again, this is something parents can step into.
Yeah.
You know, your kid doesn't need a cell phone when they're 6 and 7 years old.
Nope.
You know, your kids don't need to be on social media. They don't need to be on Facebook until probably even 10 or older. So, you know, that's a situation of, I think, parents have stopped parenting in a lot of ways, and we're letting technology, we're letting all of these other influences parent for us.
Yeah.
And that's my second soapbox for the day. All right, Pete, I need to do this quick readout. Daniel Fletcher, whom you know, he wrote us, Daniel, I'm really sorry, he wrote us back on July 29th.
Oh, dear.
If there's nothing about this show, it is we are timely. But this is just after we had talked about Daniel on our show. So he said, "Hey, OC team, just finished listening to the show and wanted to say a big thank you to Pete for the shout out last week regarding my wrestling. It was a lovely start to my Monday morning, leaving the gym and hearing you guys show a bit of love. I'm a longtime listener, although I'm one of those that aren't generally as vocal, apart from tweeting and my victory achieved every now and then. It is, however, always great to see you all at EGX each year and have a conversation then and get myself great deals on switches courtesy of Bongo's drunken auction bidding." And Daniel, for sure, you can expect that again this year at EGX. Also, Daniel, I do hope you are coming to EGX because you have a chance to meet me.
Oh, boy.
I said that may not be actually a good thing. Sorry. It goes on. If any of you aren't already aware of my pro wrestling persona, is heavily video game inspired. My main attire is modeled on Commander Shepard's military wear, as well as borrowing Shep's leather NC7 jacket as part of the entrance, completing the look with a few NC7 Cerberus and Andromeda patches. I'm also in the process of getting an alternative attire made up with a Halo UNSC theme with green camo, UNSC patches, a jacket. I know a few of the podcast hosts aren't necessarily pro wrestling fans. That could be me. But I think I've found there's a decent crossover wrestling fans and video game fans. So let's hope I can win over the demographic for support. 100% I support this. Love the Halo idea, by the way.
I knew you was going to say that. I knew it. So Fletch, just turn up at EGX wearing this shit, and Greg's going to be all over you.
Yeah, totally. Completely. I would go so far as say you should go for an ODST look. Go for the orbital drop shock trooper. There you go. Anyway, he finishes out. If you don't mind me being cheeky and throwing out a quick plug, if any of the community wants to keep track of how I'm getting on Instagram, @Cerberus_wrestler, and on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Cerberus_wrestler. I haven't got a Twitter account yet, but I was thinking perhaps it's getting time to. Yeah. I don't know. Twitter is the bane of my existence. I love it and I hate it. Looking forward to seeing those of you turning up for EGX in October. Until then, Cerberus Dan out.
He's got some fantastic stunts as well that he does on his videos. You need to really check his profile out. He's great.
I have massive respect for the pro wrestlers in that they go through a lot. I mean, it is effort. It's not silliness. I mean, they exert physical tolls on their body. So huge respect in that regard. I just know that they're fixed outcomes, so that's difficult for me to process. Just saying. All right. I think we can get into our challenges and games of the week.
I've not got any sound clip for trials, so unless anybody wants to start singing that out, we're going straight into it.
Now would be a good time for a motorcycle to go by, but
I was going to
talk to somebody about that.
I was going to try and do something. Well, maybe hold on.
Here we go. Hey,
Mario.
No, wrong sound clip. Sorry. My bad.
Potato.
No, still wrong sound clip. Yeah. All right. Now we'll just get into it. Trials Rising, challenge number 22. The track was Angkor Wat with a question mark. excuse me. I hated this track on one hand, and I loved it on the other hand. It was just tough enough to be truly challenging. Like, you had to master a couple of really good techniques to get it going.
Yep.
But it wasn't overly challenging to where you
like
could
post the last one.
Yeah, the last one was really tough. So, in the order of the least fastest to the most fastest, actually, we have to start with at number 10, which technically there's nobody in that slot, but we're going to call this the absolute worst loser spot. Therefore, the legit Chinny goes
yeah, that could be
the
me.
Spot because he did not actually partake in
you
the challenge.
Bastard.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Slacker.
We have Scott Stubby coming in at 151.575. So mind you, keep track of where these times are and where they finish. So almost 2 minutes. It was tough. That's without faults, mind you. So he completed it without crashing. So that is an accomplishment, let me tell you. Marcanix came in with a headache-pounding 1.29.877. So again, about a minute and a half to do the track. No faults. Then Chubster 999 came in at 1.28.568, just nudging out Mark. And then we have our own GamerGirl 27 coming in and really jumping things up a bit. She did it.
Brian.
1.18.304. Take that, Mark and Pete.
What a bitch slap.
Yes, straight up.
Damn.
Then we had myself coming in at a 1.10.210. Now, important to note here, minute 10. This level, when I hit that time, I was into the platinum trophy. So platinum trophies are usually very difficult to get to. And we usually, from week to week, have two, maybe three people hit into the platinum trophy.
Mm-hmm.
I finished fifth on our list. So just throwing that out there. Keep
exactly.
that in mind.
Yeah.
Then we had the jerk known as Martin C. 1984. He finished at an amazing 1.08.575. Good job, Martin. Then we had Snoogan. And he came in, I know, third. Snoogans, third. 1.08.466. Who could possibly be faster than him? Well, it was our very own Luis Raimondo. 1.08.102. I do believe he might have posted a faster time since then. However, at the time of recording the scores, which is 7 p.m. in the UK, this was his time. Therefore, any other times past this, do not count. Sorry, you're screwed. But not to be outdone, and returning to his rare form, as always, with an incredibly fast time of 1.07.935, which has got to be towards the very top of the leaderboards worldwide, mind you. Not just, you know, friends and regional. Was Womble MK3. Nick, fantastic time. Well done.
Overachiever.
Yeah! Well done, kid.
Yeah, well done, punk. Well done. Well done. Absolutely. All right, the next challenge, challenge number 23, is going to be Chinese Cliffs using the Rhino Bike. And we have seven tracks left, including this one. So after this Chinese Cliffs, we'll have six more challenge tracks. And then we are putting this one to rest. So there you go. Chinese Cliffs, get on it. Get your times recorded before next Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. in the UK. Had to do that right.
All right. It's been running for over half a year.
Yeah. This is the game that keeps giving. I mean, somebody was posting up, what's a game you can play over and over again? And I put up Trials Rising. I'm on this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you beat a track, there's still incentive to go back and better your time if you want. So, I absolutely thrilled with this game. It is a game that has unexpectedly been my favorite game of this year so far. All right. Rezogun. Who wants to talk about Rezogun?
Rezogun, right. Okay. Sarah started this off, I believe.
Yeah, Sarah, by the way, where's your time? Come on, Sarah.
Oh, that's naughty, isn't it? Ow. So there's official challenges, apparently, that are in the game menu. If you want to be added, make sure you send Mark Annix a friend request on PSN or send a photo of your score to Mark at Mark Annix on Twitter or post in the Facebook group page. You can find us anywhere. We're just easy. Scores need to be collected again, just like trials, by 7 p.m. UK time Sunday and 11 a.m., did you say, Greg?
Yes.
Yes. Whatever side of America that is. Right, fifth place. The absolute rock. What?
It's the only side that counts. Sorry, rest of the U.S.
So it's got to be the east side, hasn't it? Big up Staten Island, New York. Yeah. Right, fifth place. There's not anybody there. Fourth place. There's nobody there neither. In third, Gunslinger X, 1983, with 90,560 points. In second place, Luis Raimondo with 1,865,520 points. But the man who takes the biscuit every week. We don't know how he does it. He must put his life into it. We really, really want to know what you do to get these scores. Maybe you could just record it on OBS and show us what you do. I don't know. But it's Tuscan, ridiculous. 77. 31,813,890 points. That is just absolutely nuts.
Holy moly.
I know. Yeah,
that is kind of crazy. I'm not really familiar with Rezogun, but I have to think it's one of those games that if you just get to a certain point, then the score, you know, the score increases just get insane. And so it happens really fast, but you've got to get to that point. Like I remember Geometry Wars was kind of like that. Like you would get to a certain point and then suddenly your score would just start going through the roof. If you could just last a couple seconds longer, it would make a different, you know, huge difference. This applies to other things in life for the record as well. So a couple more seconds, damn it. Just cool. Anyway.
But the difference between 1 million and 31 million, that's a whole lot of cells, isn't it?
That's a difference of 30 seconds, Pete. It is massive. Yes.
But only one gets there. Anyway, challenge 241 starts at 1 a.m. tonight, UK time. I don't know if there's any names to that challenge or whatever. It's just 2-4-1 by the look of it. So, moving on to the golf club.
Yes, Kim? The golf club, Kim.
All righty, the golf club, which I don't do. I keep meaning to, but I just haven't. So many challenges, so little time. We have challenge 7, and that is one round at Fisher's Island Club. And in fourth, we have XJ Rider XJ Rider 98. Yeah, I know. I don't know. With a plus 5.
Wait, Kim.
What?
Fucking Windows 98!
Exactly. Stretmeister with a plus 4. Martin C. 1984 with a plus 3. And Blue Baru, number 1, with a minus 6. So congratulations. And your next week's course is a question mark.
Yes. So, you know why? Because Gary DeFelice is supposed to be heading this up. Slacker. And that slacker is sitting on a beach... relaxing, showing off pale white legs, and basically
hairy toes.
Hairy toes. It was disgusting. It was just not anything. Nobody needed to see that, especially if you were on that beach. I'm surprised they probably didn't call animal control on it. All right. We do have this thing called Victory Achieved. Now, Pete, you have been a god in that you have stepped up. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna call it like it is. You know, you're the ginger god, ginger god 13. You have stepped up in the place of the clown known as Bongo the Sane, and you have taken over Victor's Achieved while he is away, drinking margaritas. He's drinking limoncello. I think it is. Was that what it was called?
Mm-hmm. He's been singing nuts as well. Wow.
We've been getting blasted, by the way, listeners. Bongo has been sending us all kinds of crazy videos of him being drunk in bars late at night, singing 80s rock tunes. It's disgraceful, really, to be honest. It is a sad, sad thing to see. He's just going down further this whole, well, anyway.
Terrible.
You, Pete, have stepped up, though. You have been manning the Victory Achieved chair. And so I'm going to turn this over to you.
Okay, so Victory Achieved. It's a thing that we have running on Twitter. It's a contest where you can win up to £15 English money or $20 US.
Right, just subtract five. That's how it works. if you ever need to figure out the exchange rate, people, this is how it works in my head, is just subtract five.
One lot of that 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Yeah, anyway, it doesn't work at all now.
So it's a contest where you can win actual money. All you need to do is complete a computer game, take a selfie with the credits, including your face, and you send it to @OC_podcast on Twitter with the hashtag Victory Achieved. And the contest is running between the 1st of July to September 30th. Like I say, you can win some cash. But there's only one person. I'm really disappointed, listeners. I'm really disappointed with the amount of people that have not completed computer games these past 2 weeks. I don't know whether you've been in Bongo's suitcase. I don't know what's going on. I need you to send us lots more just to keep Bongo busy, I think, next week, because he'll be taking back over, I think. So we've only had one person, and that's our general, OC_Murphy's Law. And he's completed Crackdown 3. And that's it. So, Greg, you win yourself your own voice.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
You could have said that to yourself in bed, couldn't you, and had that much enjoyment?
You know what the funny part is? I do.
Did you say that after you completed it?
When I completed Crackdown 3, I'm all... Yes, absolutely.
The life of Greg.
Yes, thanks for that, Pete. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
This was a very self-serving victory achieved this week. I laughed when I saw I was the only one on there. I'm literally going to serenade myself.
There you go.
Yeah. So, no, please, people, get on it. Like Pete said, get those victory achieves in. We're literally giving away free money for you. So there's no reason why you shouldn't be getting on there unless, of course, you haven't completed a game. But then again, why are you listening to this podcast if you're not completing games? Just get on it. Do it.
Kim. I'm on this podcast and I'm not completing.
Yeah, unless you're Kim, who plays one game for an entire year. Now, granted, it is a big game.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. Your problem, Kim, is you're like Mark. You get tied up in all of the side missions. Like, I need to collect all the bones. I need to collect the flowers. And so, one, never look at the flowers.
Never
look at the flowers. But yeah, it's okay sometimes, especially in these kinds of games where you can go back to the world after the story's completed to just...
I plan on it, you know. Yeah, okay.
All right. Anyway, all right. Hey. Yep. This has been a fun podcast. Echo-free.
Yay!
Yeah, I had nothing to do with that. That was all Pete's doing. Thank you, Pete, for spinning the decks. That's really appreciate it. Kim, thank you for your moral support.
Anytime.
You quoted before the podcast started saying, are we going to be screwed this week too? Anyway, if you want to be part of the conversation, we are on Twitch, we are on Mixer, we're on YouTube every week, Sunday evenings, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. in Easter Island. I don't know why we say this. We do it every week. Easter Island. Do we know anybody on Easter Island? I don't think so.
Not as far as I know.
We do know people out in Australia. Right now, I have this tickle at the back of my throat. It's killing me. Anyway, so we're on at 7 a.m. in Australia. So if you are waking up in the morning and you're having a cup of coffee and you're playing Trials Rising, this podcast...
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. We are on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we do an audio version of the podcast, so if you want to listen to us as you're beating people up, like Daniel Fletcher when he's wrestling at the gym, go right on ahead, download the audio version of this podcast at your leisure. We have all kinds of clubs. We like a community. Look, we do this podcast for freaking 500 plus episodes because we love you, the community. So be a part of it. Find us on Xbox. Find us on PS4. Find us on Steam. Apparently, there are people out there who have Switches, and there's a Switch number and decoder that you need to put in to figure out who the hell they are, to find them, to be part of their friends group thing. But we have people out there. They're everywhere. Find us. Play games. That's all we want to say. Play games. And this. Pete, play this.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us, podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Well, I would like to start some shout-outs by saying shout-out to the two of you. Thank you for making the podcast and being reliable, good podcast Samaritans.
Sure.
Anyway, Kim, why don't you start the shout-outs?
All right. yeah, all right. I'm going to shout out our shatters. I'm going to check the list to make sure I haven't forgot anyone because I've been keeping track on my phone in case someone takes off. You know, it's important. Alrighty. Our shatters this week have been RCGC, Scott Stubby, Commander Root, Lurks, Freddybot, Hardly Dan, Host Me Raffle, McWallace, and S1 Faker, and let's see if there's anybody else. Zane Kyber is another one. So, Community Showcase, there was another. So, you know, pick out the bots and pick out the real people. That should be a game we play one day. Yeah.
It should be. And by the way, Hardly Dan said he is going to post up his sex line later on. Wait. Sorry, I read that wrong. Nintendo friend code. Nintendo friend code. I'm just going to post it. Yeah.
Well.
Anyway.
Damn it. Anyway, shout out to you guys. It's always fun. And I'm sorry, Pete, I didn't recognize you when I got on because, you know, facial hair.
Sorry.
Yeah, seriously, by the way, for everybody listening, we really didn't address this enough. Like, Pete, none of us knew Pete was shaving his beard just completely off. So I start up the call with Pete, and I see this guy on there, and I'm like, who the fuck is this? Kim had the exact same reaction. She's like, who is this guy?
What the hell are we podcasting with today?
You're night and day. Different. It's crazy.
It's weird. But if it makes you feel any better, it's the same way whenever my brothers shave. They walk in the house, and I'm like, holy shit, who are you? You know? It's a thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a illness. I don't know. But anyway, it's been fun, because it always is. And, here's to a good week, hopefully. So, and if I guess if you want to find me, it's @GamerGirl27 on Twitter, and that's Xbox, and it's a weird configuration on PlayStation that I'm not going into. You'll find me. So, yeah. All right. How about you, Pete?
Well, you can find me on Xbox and pretty much anything else under the Legit Chinny, at the Legit Chinny on Twitter. And I'm going to shout out more Razor this week for completely transforming me into this sexy bald-chinned hunk that I am. I'm all smooth for you, Greg, and I'm gonna keep smooth.
Do I dare call you? I mean, bald chin might be your new nickname now. Yeah.
Oh, we've set her off. She's gone. There she goes. Never mind. It's just my razor, really. Thank you ever so much for making me look this good. So that's me, Greg. Closes off.
All right.
I think Kim's closed off.
I don't know how I can follow that. A shout out to both of you now in earnest for making me laugh a lot. Bongo, enjoy your time in Italy for as much. I don't know how much longer he's going to be there, but enjoy it with the family. Mark, feel better. Get back here. Phil, I don't know where Phil is. Phil has disappeared off the face of the earth. I know he bought a new house. And suddenly he was dealing with new house issues. That's always fun. Rich, my marital advice to you is I hope to God you weren't actually playing video games on your honeymoon night. Again, congrats to Rich and Jill. We're still very chuffed about them getting married. And Nicole, we finally got, we've had some voice from Nicole. Nicole's been going through a whole bunch of stuff, so we haven't, you know, she is still very much part of the podcast family, just in case anybody wanted to know. Mm-hmm. And we are, or her seat is saved and waiting for her when and if she's ready to come back. I think I just said when and riff. But yeah. I need a drink. That's what I need. I need a drink. So, Pete, can you fire up that funky outro music right about now?
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.